today. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here. And yes, client resistance. I'm really looking forward to talking about it. Not as this scary barrier coaches need to defeat, but more as, well, maybe a misunderstood signal. Something that, if we listen right, can actually lead to a much deeper coaching relationship.
That's a great way to frame it right off the bat. Okay, so for everyone listening, maybe some are newer coaches, maybe some are veterans feeling that resistance. Let's get a clear definition. When we say client resistance, what are we actually talking about? What does it look like, feel like?
Right. So basically, resistance is when a client, and this could be conscious or, you know, completely unconscious, they create obstacles that kind of disrupt the natural flow of coaching. The forward movement. It's often subtle stuff, you know, maybe vague answers to your questions, or denying something they just seem to agree with, getting easily distracted, changing the subject, or maybe just not doing the tasks they agreed to do between sessions. It's that pushback.
So it's not always this big dramatic refusal. It sounds more like sometimes you feel this almost invisible wall just pop up between you.
That's a perfect way to put it. An invisible wall. It really feels like that sometimes. But the key thing, the absolute key, is how the coach approaches that wall. You don't go at it with a hammer, trying to smash through, no. You approach it with real curiosity, like, what's this wall made of? Why is it here now? What's its purpose for the client? That curiosity is what helps you find the door.
Curiosity, not force.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge distinction. But okay, here's the big question for me then. If someone chooses coaching, they sign up, they show up, why would they then resist? It seems, well, illogical what's going on underneath.
It really does seem counterintuitive, doesn't it? But it happens all the time. And there are some pretty deep reasons. One huge one is just the fear of change. Simple as that, almost. Even positive change, the stuff they say they want, can feel really unsettling. It shakes up their mental security, their, you know, their status quo. Our brain's kind of like predictability. So even good change can trigger this unconscious feeling of loss, maybe, like grieving the old self. And that comes out as resistance.
Interesting. Fear of the good stuff, even.
Exactly. Then you've got past negative experiences. Maybe they worked with someone before, a consultant perhaps, who just gave advice, didn't really listen. So they're maybe protecting themselves, wary of being told what to do again or feeling unheard.
Okay, that makes sense.
What else? Well, sometimes it's ambiguity about coaching itself. They might not fully get what coaching is. Maybe they expect the coach to just, you know, hand them the answers like a doctor prescribing medicine. And when that doesn't happen, because that's not what coaching is, that mismatch can feel like resistance from their end. They're waiting for something you won't give.
Right. And you mentioned external pressure too.
Yes, absolutely. External pressure. This is a big one. The client might be there because their company sent them, or maybe family pushed them into it. It wasn't really their decision. So the resistance you feel, that might just be their quiet way of saying, hey, this isn't my agenda. I'm taking back some control here.
You know, related to that ambiguity point, what about when the client just genuinely doesn't know what they want? They're unclear themselves. Is that a form of resistance too?
Oh, absolutely. That lack of clarity, it often presents as resistance. It's a really profound form, actually. When someone doesn't know what they truly want, or maybe they have goals that conflict with each other, they get stuck.
Right.
Moving forward feels impossible because there's no clear path, so they don't move. And from the outside, that looks, well, it looks just like resistance. It's a passive block.
Okay, so we've got the wall. We looked at some of the foundations behind it. Now, what about the coach's side? What happens if a coach just misses the signs? Or maybe they see it, but they try to push through anyway and break the resistance. What are the dangers there?
Oh, that's where things can really go wrong. If you miss it, or if you push against it, you lose three crucial things instantly. You lose trust, you lose connection, and you lose effectiveness. Simple as that.
Wow, all three.
All three, because the client, they'll feel unheard or misunderstood or pressured, maybe even judged. And that kind of approach, trying to force it, it doesn't dissolve resistance. It actually digs it in deeper. It destroys that psychological safety you need for any real coaching work to happen. It can completely derail the relationship, sometimes for good.
Okay, so pushing is definitely a dead end. If fighting it is the wrong move, what should a coach do when they sense that wall, that resistance? What are the practical tools?
Yeah.
The professional strategies.
Right, the toolkit. Good question. There are several really effective ways to engage, not fight. First, and this is foundational, you have to create a truly safe, non-judgmental space. This means you, the coach, can't be afraid of the resistance. You have to genuinely believe it's just information, not something bad or personal. Even if the client goes silent or gets really vague, your calm, accepting energy communicates, it's okay. I'm here with you, whatever this is.
Okay, so starting with the coach's own mindset, that's key.
Absolutely. Second, you reflect behaviors, gently, neutrally. It's like holding up a mirror, but without any judgment attached. So you might say something like, I notice your answers seem quite short today, is that right? Or I'm sensing some hesitation around this topic. Just stating the observation. Often, that alone creates a little pause, an opening for them to say what's really going on. It turns the wall into a potential doorway.
I like that, turning the wall into a doorway.
What else? Third, ask curious questions, genuinely curious, not leading questions, not questions that imply you know the answer. Things like, what do you think might be getting in the way of moving forward here? Or is there an unspoken concern maybe that's holding things back? Questions that invite them to look inward rather than feeling interrogated.
Open-ended, real curiosity.
Exactly. And finally, number four, the strategic use of silence. And I don't mean awkward, uncomfortable silence. I mean generative silence. Giving the client space, real space to process, to feel, to maybe access something deeper that just needs a moment of quiet to surface. Sometimes just waiting a few extra seconds after you ask a powerful question can make all the difference. Don't rush to fill the space.
So it really comes down to holding that space, doesn't it? Not jumping in to fix it or find the solution immediately.
Precisely. That's the core of it.
Right.
Your job isn't to break the resistance. It's to start a dialogue with it, to understand it. What's it protecting? What's it trying to communicate? That's where the real coaching happens.
That makes so much sense. It's a completely different way of looking at it. Could you maybe share an example, a time from your own experience where you faced really significant resistance
yeah.
and how you navigated it using these ideas?
Sure. I can think of one quite clearly. It was a younger manager. He was sent for coaching by his company, definitely that external pressure factor we talked about. And for the first three sessions, honestly, he said almost nothing. He'd sit there, nod sometimes, maybe a one-word answer here and there. That was it. It was challenging. Very persistent silence.
Wow. Three sessions of silence. What did you do?
Well, I used all the things we discussed. Maintained the safe space, reflected his silence gently, asked those open, curious questions without any pressure, waited. But nothing seemed to shift much. So in the fourth session, I tried something slightly different. I just paused, made eye contact, and I asked him very quietly, "Do you think that if you don't say anything at all, I'm still willing to stay with you, to hold the space?"
That's a powerful question. What happened?
It was incredible. It was like a switch flipped or a lock turning. His whole posture changed. He looked up, really looked at me, and then he just started talking. He opened up about all these fears, these pressures he felt, things he hadn't dared to voice. He realized my presence wasn't conditional on him performing or speaking. And honestly, it turned into one of the deepest, most transformative coaching relationships I've ever had, all because we met that initial intense resistance with acceptance, not force.
What a fantastic story. It really shows how patience and that genuine presence can unlock things. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, as we start to wrap up this deep dive, let's give our listener, you, something concrete to take away. A kind of golden nugget of wisdom and maybe a practical exercise for the week.
Absolutely. So my golden tip would be this. See every bit of resistance, no matter how frustrating it feels in the moment, as a hidden invitation. An invitation to listen more deeply, more unconditionally.
Resistance as an invitation. I love that.
Yeah. And for the weekly exercise. The next time you feel resistance, maybe in a coaching client, maybe in a conversation with someone else, or hey, even within yourself, just pause. Instead of trying to fix it or push it away, ask yourself this question. If this resistance could speak, what message would it be trying to deliver right now? Just listen for the answer.
If this resistance could speak, that's a really powerful reframe, a great way to shift perspective from seeing it as a problem to seeing it as, well, information. This has been incredibly insightful. Thank you so much for walking us through this complex topic with such clarity and wisdom.
My pleasure. It was great discussing it.
And thank you, our listener, for diving deep with us today. Next time, we're going to tackle another common coaching challenge. It seems smaller on the surface, maybe, but it has huge implications. Vague goal setting. How unclear goals can really stall progress. So, until then, keep exploring, keep listening deeply, and we'll connect again on the next deep dive.